Last week, during the very, very cold weather, when the countryside was covered in a layer of snow, the president of the Ulster Farmers Union was interviewed on radio. He was speaking by mobile phone from the middle of one of his own fields, which lent atmosphere to the interview. He was describing how the conditions were very difficult for farmers. And in the course of his interview, he spoke specifically about those who were caring for flocks of sheep, how difficult it was for them. A great amount of effort to keep the water which the sheep were to drink from staying frozen, carrying food out to them in the fields. And every measure was really difficult. And it impressed, no doubt, on those of us sitting in warm, cosy homes, what demanding work the shepherd has. He cannot afford the luxury of sitting by a warm fire, hoping that his sheep will look after themselves. He has to persevere with this demanding job, day and night. Now, the picture of the shepherd is, of course, one very often used in the Bible to teach about God's relationship with his people. It is the relationship of the shepherd and the sheep. And on Wednesday night, we thought of that in that this is a picture of conversion. You were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. That's conversion. It's coming to the shepherd. And this morning we want to look together at some of the most familiar words in the Bible, certainly regarding the shepherd. Our Savior says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." We look first of all here at the good shepherd's character. Twice within these few sentences, Jesus speaks of himself as the good shepherd. Now, did that description come as a surprise to the people who are listening to him? Did they consider this an unusual way of speaking? We're now so familiar with it because it's one of the best known passages in the New Testament. But when these people heard this, was it for them surprising? At the time our Lord spoke about being the shepherd, did they find it strange? No. Far from it. Because, you see, throughout the Old Testament, God has spoken of himself as the shepherd of his people. He's prepared, in a way, for the announcement which Jesus makes here concerning himself. Let's take just one Old Testament reference back in the book of Ezekiel. And in the 34th chapter, God says, "As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will tend them in a good pasture. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. I will place over them my servant David." What a good shepherd God promises to be for his people. And what a good shepherd he promises to provide for them. "I will place over them my servant David." He will be the shepherd. But of course, he is speaking of the David who is yet to come, the son of David. And so the people hearing understand the background. Those in the Old Testament could look forward with eager anticipation for the day that the shepherd will come and will do for them all that God has said he will do. Down the years, there's a growing expectation for the arrival of the shepherd. And now our Lord declares, "I am the good shepherd, the one for whom you are waiting." And the emphasis, you see, is on his goodness. We can use the word good a bit too loosely. It loses its freshness. That's a good day. That was a good meal. The singing was good. We tell the children now, be good. And somehow, the word loses its edge. But not here. When Jesus speaks and says, "I am the good shepherd," the word is full of rich, powerful meaning. In the New Testament, there are different words for good. But this one is full of meaning. It's a word of beauty and perfection. It's a word of strength and power. It's the good soil. And when the seed falls into the good soil, there's a marvelous harvest. It's the good behavior to which Paul calls us. And he says this good behavior cannot be spoken against by anyone. It's the good works that when we let our light shine before men, they will see and glorify our Father in heaven. It's the good law. We know that the law is good. Perfect, complete, eternal. I am the good shepherd. The shepherd, the good one. Jesus speaks of his character. Holy and righteous. The shepherd promised long ago. The shepherd who will never let his people down. The shepherd who is good in himself, without blemish or weak points or faults. The shepherd who is good because he is God. I am the good shepherd. Not a good shepherd. Not one among many. Not like others who are good but only better. No. The only one. The good shepherd. The one in whom we can have unwavering confidence. The Good Shepherd's character. Secondly, the Good Shepherd's sacrifice. It's probably true that a conscientious shepherd could find himself in danger. He's looking after a flock exposed on the hillside, and that could well expose him to any number of dangers, and any of them may end up with his losing his life. That could happen to a shepherd. And David expressed that, you remember. One day a great army was facing the people of Israel, and the Philistines were taunting God's people through their champion called Goliath, and David was disturbed by this, and he said to King Saul, "I will go and fight this giant." And the king said, "You couldn't possibly do that. You're only a youth. He's a seasoned warrior. You could not face him." And David had the perfect answer. "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. When there came a lion or a bear and took away a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it from his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by the beard and struck him and killed him. Being a shepherd, I know what danger is. Being a shepherd, I've experienced danger." This astonishes us. what it means to be a shepherd in Palestine. And though David did not lose his life in the struggle with wild animals, other shepherds may indeed lose their lives. And a conscientious shepherd is then ready to take risks in order to care for his sheep. To face wild animals, to brave the elements. But if while he's doing that, the shepherd was to lose his life, we couldn't say he'd lost it intentionally. He didn't set out that day with the intention of losing or giving up his life in order to look after his flock. But that is what the good shepherd did. Four times Jesus says, "I lay down my life." He says it in the present tense. I am laying down my life. This is why I came. This is why I am here. I am now on the way to that place where I will lay down my life. Nothing can hinder it. Nothing can prevent it. And he does that willingly and freely. And in it, he is always in control. You notice verse 18. Nothing forced him along the path. It was the path he chose, which led to the cross. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. I lay down my life sovereignly and willingly for the sheep. Supposing a shepherd in Palestine is confronted with a wild animal threatening his flock, and he tries to defend his sheep, but in doing it loses his life. What then happens to the sheep? They're still in danger. The flock remains exposed to the real threat from the wild animal. It may get in among them and harm them and scatter them and kill some of them. But when Jesus laid down his life for his sheep, he ensured their safety. He brought them by his death deliverance from the greatest danger, the judgment hanging over them because of their sins. In this willing and purposeful death for his sheep, Jesus is the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd's character and the Good Shepherd's sacrifice. And thirdly, the Good Shepherd's knowledge. To an untrained eye looking out at a field full of sheep, they all look more or less the same. It'll be almost impossible for us to distinguish one sheep from another. But here's a shepherd in Palestine, and he's with his sheep constantly. He will certainly be able to tell one from another. He'll know the distinguishing marks. He'll see the characteristics that distinguish one sheep from another. There's the one that's timid. There's the one that's extremely energetic. There's the one that's dominant. There's the one that's always over at the hedge trying to get out. He knows their characteristics. He can look over his sheep, and they aren't just a great number of animals that are exactly the same. He knows them and what they're like. And our Lord says, "I know my own. I know my own." Each sheep in the flock is known to him. What a great comfort that brings. That the Good Shepherd has an intimate knowledge of every one of his believing people. He knows them, of course, individually, by name. As Jesus was walking through Jericho, he stopped beside a sycamore fig tree. And he called up to a man who was using that tree as a vantage point. They had never met before, but Jesus called him by name. Zacchaeus, come down. He is one of Christ's sheep. On an earlier day in Galilee, a man came walking towards Jesus, and our Lord spoke about this man to the people nearby and described his character. How do you know me? He said. Our Lord already knew all about Nathanael. I know my own. They have been given to him in eternity. He has come to save them. They are trusting in him. I know my own thoroughly. Not a single thing about one of his sheep is unknown to him. Name, circumstances, background, personality, temperament, strengths, weaknesses, fears, deepest heart longings. Isn't that a marvel? I know my own. There are a lot of things we don't know about ourselves. There are things which other people see about us far more clearly than we do. Our mannerisms, our characteristics, some things that stand out which we don't really recognize, but other people can see. Robbie Burns once thought that it would be good to see ourselves as others see us. But even then, you wouldn't really know yourself because others don't see everything about us either. But the Good Shepherd knows his own. And when we come to him for help, that's what gives us the comfort. When we bring our needs, that's what gives us the assurance. He knows his own, everything about them. But actually, it's more than that. That's a wonderful thing, but it's more than that. He knows his own in a close, intimate, compassionate way, the objects of his love. I know my own, and my own know me. There's a living union between Christ and his people. The Good Shepherd and his sheep. He walks with me, and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He dwells in our hearts by faith. This is speaking of the believer's union with Christ. I know my own, and my own know me. And when we come this morning to the Lord's table, we gather as those who are in intimate union with Christ, the Good Shepherd. That's how you come, isn't it? The Good Shepherd's character and the Good Shepherd's sacrifice and the Good Shepherd's knowledge and finally the Good Shepherd's flock. There was a minister in Scotland in recent years who started his working life as a shepherd. And then he felt the call of God to enter the gospel ministry, and he became a pastor in a Scottish congregation. No doubt, he became used to people asking him which of his flocks was easiest to manage. Or he no doubt heard many comments about how he had exchanged one flock for another. And though these are slightly humorous comments, there is a great deal of sense in them. Because you cannot really think of a shepherd without a flock. If he doesn't have a flock, how could he be a shepherd? Maybe once he was a shepherd. Maybe he used to work as a shepherd. But to be a shepherd, he must have a flock. And at verse 16, our Lord speaks of his flock. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Now the sheep pen of which Jesus is here speaking are the Jewish people. The Jewish people, those ones out of the Jewish people who have come to believe in him as Messiah. And the first believers were from among the Jews. And our Lord is speaking here in this chapter and addressing men standing in front of him who are primarily Jews. And he says, out of that number there have come those who have come to believe, and they are part now of his flock. But our Lord says he has sheep who are not in that particular sheep pen. They aren't from Jewish background. They've never worshipped in the synagogue. Their background is entirely different. They're not of that sheep pen. Who are they? They are people like us. They are the Gentiles. And down the ages to come from outside of Israel, they will come to believe in Jesus and be added to the flock. The flock will keep on growing, increasing more and more as people are added to it, brought from many different places, brought from places beyond the boundaries of Israel. The gospel will reach far and wide. The flock will be international. I have other sheep, not from inside Israel, but from far beyond. The flock will be international. Some will come from Africa and Asia and America and Newton Ards. And it's certain they will come. They will come when they hear Christ's voice. They will listen to my voice. They will hear his word as he speaks to them. And they will respond in faith and be saved. And then they're added to the flock. Isn't that a great picture of hope and encouragement? What this means for the Christian. All those years ago, when the Good Shepherd said, I have other sheep and I must bring them, he was speaking about you. He was looking ahead down the years to come and looking to that moment when you would listen and hear his voice, and hearing would believe, and believing would come to him as Savior. The great church leader of the past, Augustine, once said, he saw them who did not yet see him. He saw them. Down the ages yet to come, they did not yet see him, but one day they heard his voice. He knew them, says Augustine, who had not yet believed in him. These are the other sheep whom he must bring. And he does. He sends out his voice, and his sheep hear that voice. And they believe and come. I am the good shepherd. Good in every way. Character, sacrifice, knowledge, gathering together his flock. What a great privilege to be part of that flock. And to be invited this morning to come and sit at the Lord's table, to enjoy the presence of the Good Shepherd as he himself welcomes us and as he feeds us with all that is needful for life and eternity. I am the Good Shepherd. Come to him. Rejoice in him. And find in him all that you need, day by day. Amen.